number to call 1-800-SOS-RADON, where you can get all the information you need to test and fix a hum with a radon problem.
You did.
Yeah, and then I found out we were going to have a baby. So, you know, your study, it'd be a perfect room for my mother.
Right. Now I need a phone number to fix a home with a mother-in-law problem.
Hey.
I'm in a pickle. Did you say baby?
Do we have any ice cream?
Protect your family from radon. Make your home safer. Call 1-800-SOS-RADON. 1-800-SOS-RADON.
You're listening to WUSB Stony Brook, 90.1 on the frequency modulation band and streaming live to you around the world at WUSB.FM. Please check out that website for more information about our community radio station and ways you can support it. We also have streaming guides, playlists, and other program information there. It's now 6:01, and that means it's time for Off the Wall. All right. Good evening, everyone. This is Off the Wall. I'm Kyle, and Emmanuel's right here.
Oh, yeah. I'm all right. Not so loud. All right, so I played a drinking game last night. Every time Donald Trump said something stupid, I was supposed to take a shot. You know, that was stupid. Why? To have that kind of a game where I take a shot every time he says something stupid. What was I thinking?
Yeah, it should have been some other person, other debater, other character, maybe the moderator or somebody that isn't that active.
Well, you didn't do so well yourself. I mean, you had the every time Hillary bares her teeth and looks like she's about to attack. That's that was a shot for you as well. And
yeah, the bloodthirst.
Yeah, it's it keeps you up at night.
Expression. Yeah, that was my duty, and needless to say, I'm all right, but I'm not certainly over-caffeinated like I was the other week.
Yeah, that's true. I'm glad that finally wore off.
It took a couple days, but it's a much different mood now, so we're...
You have to repair the damage to the town, by the way. They called again today, and they're pretty insistent on that.
I think most of the street signs are back, so it should be at least functional, but I will get
to
that.
In the wrong place, Kyle. You can't put a stop sign in the middle of an intersection that has a traffic light already. It doesn't make any sense.
You know how time-consuming it is to bolt and unbolt?
And speaking of traffic lights, upside down, you know what that does to people? To have the red on the bottom? And I mean, you think red and green are a system, but it's all positioning as well. You have to have the yellow in the middle, and that's, always the case, but... green has to be on the bottom.
In some countries,
what country?
It is acceptable.
What
no,
country?
They operate with a different scheme as far as what order and what lights mean.
Look,
what?
Germany is
a good
thing.
Example.
This is one thing that everybody can agree on, is that green means go and red means stop. I can't think of a single country. They drive on the left side. They drive, all different ways. They use a metric system. They use imperialistic system. But they all agree that a red light means, whoa, don't go any further. If you show me a country where red means go, and I'll tell you we have some problems.
Okay, you got me there. The colors are universal.
Can't we start with that? Can't we start with that as, a point that we all can agree on? Like, Israel, Palestine, come together, red light. You both agree that when you see a red light, you'll stop, right? Okay, all right, good. This is progress. This is, we're having a breakthrough here.
It's the beginning of negotiations.
I think.
If you can agree on simple things, you can find that common diplomatic ground. You're off to the races, as they say.
Well, I think maybe we should just come up with a list of things that people agree on that aren't open for debate. Like pain hurts, and red lights, and offsides rule in football. It's pretty much everybody understands that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, you wouldn't violate that thinking, oh, they'll just never notice. No, you can't get that by.
Well, it's not our job. It's just suggestions that we're putting out there. We're veering radically off topic.
Well, it's not too far off. It's a meander.
No, it's true. It is a meander. Debate last night. Wow, okay, finally happened. We've been looking forward to this for, I don't know how long. I guess ever since we knew that Trump was going to be the candidate. Wow, how is he going to do in a debate with Hillary Clinton? And now we know the answer. Not too well. He didn't do well at all, I don't think.
You don't think? I don't think so either. No. It was a showdown. If there ever was one, this was quite a showdown.
Well, it started off, I was a little worried at first because he kind of seemed calm and almost like he was thinking about what he was going to say. And then the first few minutes were over and they started getting into specific topics and the accusations started flying and the falsehoods just would not stop. And, he did some things I wasn't expecting. For instance, admitting to not paying any taxes, saying that's called being smart or something along those lines. Wow. And not paying people because you take advantage of some kind of bankruptcy loophole when obviously you're not bankrupt. It's the same thing that Source Interlink did to us at 2600, where they, quote-unquote, went out of business but basically just shifted to a different division and did just fine. That's what Trump does on a regular basis. But to say that, you know, it's okay to not pay people that design certain things for you. He even used the excuse, well, maybe I wasn't happy with the work.
Yeah, I was going to mention he attacked the people who had actually been the contracted artisan or whatnot, and the craftspeople themselves were brought into it. Him basically remarking their work wasn't worth his money. He would not honor his agreement with them, which is, you know, it is so emblematic of his style.
Yeah.
And I think his style, it hit sort of loggerhead. It couldn't really mesh in this kind of broader general umbrella in this part of the cycle.
Yeah, yeah. It's he seemed to be flailing in various ways and not really caring that some bad things were being revealed about him, and he seemed defiantly proud of those things. And you know, I saw some people saying later on, I thought this was brilliant, that, well, I guess it's okay. If you're staying in a Trump hotel and you're not satisfied, you don't have to pay. just tell them you're not happy with what you got and walk away. And according to Trump, that's fine.
Wow. I wonder if that's actually happening in reception attendants are being overrun with people trying to get out of their agreements because they're not satisfied with the way the ice is and the pillow was too soft. And
book us a weekend at a Trump resort.
No,
we won't pay a penny.
Okay, no,
because we're smart.
Let's just get our little app going. Sure, and we can just we do an entire tour of different hotels, and every single one of them will be dissatisfied.
And he has properties everywhere. He has properties in various cities, which is how he's able to tell what the inner city is like and what African Americans have to experience.
Yeah, some of his properties have a vantage point where you can see poor people.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So that's something to consider if you're planning a last-minute getaway of some sort. If you'd like to see poor people, there's plenty of vantage points at Trump properties.
Are there any Trump properties on Long Island, I wonder?
That's a good question.
Very good question. Thank you for the acknowledgement. I'm now going to look that up and see if there are any Trump property. I don't know if I can find out easily, but...
I think we should also make that a trivia question. If you're listening to this wonderful station and our program, let us know what the answer is. Find out and call 631-632-6901, but not right now. In a little bit, we'll take your call. And you can also write the show, otw@2600.com.
Trump Properties, Long Island. I'm sorry.
You're looking up the answer.
I'm asking Google a question.
All right. Well, when you find the answer, don't exclaim it under your breath, because I just issued a challenge, and you're going to completely...
Okay, here's Donald Trump's New York real estate empire.
Okay, yes.
But, it's not what I asked for at all. It's all New York City. How is New York City on Long Island? Explain that to me. You're just in New York City, not showing me anything on Long Island. I guess I have to put that in quotes.
Well, this came up at a Stony Brook event that you and I attended.
That's right.
Is Brooklyn and Queens considered part of Long Island? And it was very funny, needless to say, how
that's
that went.
What you got out of that talk is that one question.
Not at all, but it was my clever way of segging into that interesting event that we went to, and I'll tell people as soon as I'm done with this sentence.
Okay, all right,
who that
to,
person is
that sentence finally coming
but
to an end.
The sentence, it may just need a few more words.
Well, I'm going to interrupt your sentence by saying that there is a Trump Tower apparently in Long Island City, which is in Queens, which is on Long Island, technically. But I don't know. I think maybe... Wait,
okay.
Wait, whoa. Donald J. Trump State Park?
Can I update the
challenge? Wait. Did you know about this? Donald J. Trump State Park?
Well, everybody brings their dogs there to do their business.
Well, I get a dog just to bring them there.
Everybody knows that.
Wait, did we pass this once?
Whoa.
I think we did pass this.
You're right.
I remember talking about this once before, but look where it is. It's just north of New York. Look like it's in Westchester someplace. It's in Westchester and Putnam counties. The park consists of property donated to New York State in 2006 by Donald Trump. Maintenance of the park was halted in 2010 due to budget constraints. and the park remains largely undeveloped as of 2015. So he bought it for $2 million in the 1990s and donated it in 2006. And who says he doesn't donate things? He donated the land after he was unable to gain town approvals to develop a private golf course. What is it with him and golf courses?
So all the people get the leftovers.
I guess that's what's going on. Okay, here's what happened. At the time of the donation, he claimed the parcel was worth $100 million, and he used that as a tax write-off. So he buys the thing for $2 million and then claims it's worth $100 million as a donation. Don't think he didn't profit off of this. I mean, we have a park, I guess, but it's got his name on it. So, I mean, come on. Talk about tainted. Ew.
That's how that works, everyone.
I mean, even
nice.
A dog wouldn't go there.
Yeah. So that is a small example of how he operates.
In late 2015, State Senator Daniel Squadron introduced an Anything But Trump Act to change the park's name. Several suggestions for a name change were offered by elected officials. Assemblyman Charles D. Lavigne suggested that the park be named for Peter Salem, an African-American who served in the American Revolutionary War and is thought by some historians to have been Muslim. And the district's U.S. Representative Sean Patrick Maloney suggested that the park be named after folk singer Pete Seeger. Oh, that would be so good. In response, Trump suggested that New York State return the park's land to his ownership. Well, Donald, but you know what? It's worth $1 billion now, so pay up. Let's go there. Let's go to Donald J. Trump State Park. Is it State Park? Donald J. Trump State Park, and do something funny on video, just to show how cool we are.
Sure. I'm happy to join you at Donald Trump State Park, and if you would like to join us or give us some ideas of things to do there, please write us at otw@2600.com. And I'm changing my challenge. The challenge is now that you need to tell us how many Donald Trump properties, how many Trump properties there are on Long Island, since we've established that there are any. And
yeah,
we want to know how many.
I can't find any. We might be pure. We might be clean.
It can include something private. It doesn't have to be commercial. But as I alluded to, we saw Michael Moore.
Yeah, that really happened. We did see him. We found out Michael Moore was coming to campus a couple of days, and he did come to campus.
He was here.
He came right. He was all over, in fact, because. First of all, they drove out Friday during rush hour. I knew that was going to be a bad idea, and that was the first part of his talk, was how much of a bad idea it was to drive out to Stony Brook on a Friday afternoon during rush hour. And not only that, but when he got here, the driver got completely lost, and he got this sort of whirlwind tour of the entire campus. And he was just talking about all these landmarks of the campus that he had visited unwillingly, trying to find the Fine Arts Center where he was supposed to be speaking. It was hilarious, and he really gets the campus in that brief period of time. He was able to express the frustration that so many of us feel just trying to get around and find our way.
And made it very very relatable. Broke the ice right away as far as this event went, and I think that really set the tone and got it to more of a collaborative and sort of back and forth discussion. It wasn't a lecture that we just sat and listened to. He did have a very deliberate and strong message and stream of thought there, but certainly allowed people to comment and talk to people.
Yeah, and to his credit, to his great credit, what he started doing was engaging Trump supporters. He asked, "Are there people in this room that support Trump?" And there were. I was surprised by that, and they seemed to be students.
Yeah,
one even claimed to be Muslim, which I kind of doubt, but okay, sure, why not? but about maybe three or four people. And he was so nice to them. He was so accepting of their position. The first thing he did, besides encouraging the rest of us not to heckle them or hassle them in any way, was to identify where they were right, where they were correct. Basically, things like Trump saying the system is rigged. Yeah, the system is rigged. Trying to understand and identify with their frustration why they would believe somebody like Donald Trump could be the answer. And of all the people I've seen engage in this conversation over the last year or so, I think he was the most genuine, the most open, the most respectful. And it really set the tone. I think those people might have come to heckle him, to expect him to express a typical liberal bias or something like that. And they might have been surprised to see just how he allowed them to speak, to say their perspective, their views, and to have it taken seriously. Maybe even they might reconsider their position after having had that conversation. This is so important, to have the conversation, to engage in people. And I saw a Trump supporter for the first time in my life.
Yeah, you were a little shocked. As soon as you regained consciousness and we got you some air, it was really enjoyable to hear some of their thoughts and perspectives, because it is certainly a extraterrestrial interaction when you realize these are people living in a different planet, and you are really one and the same. You know, we are the same community, and we need to find understanding with one another to really move the country in a certain direction. And wow, it was a lot of discussion. There were a lot of different issues,
yeah.
And in the discussion, and I don't know, just really pleasant to hear someone who understands the stuff so well.
Humor is a very important part of everything, I think, and the way Michael Moore injects humor into any talk, and you realize when you're seeing his talk that it's not from a script. It's basically tailored for whatever audience he's speaking to. And he was speaking to Stony Brook. He was speaking to the people here. Relatively few people, too, as far as how many people would have come to this thing if it had been widely publicized. But it was a real privilege to see that, to be a part of that. And while the actual encounter was very pleasant and enlightening, the message was scary. Because Michael Moore believes that Donald Trump is going to win. He said that before.
And he reiterated it.
He sure did. And I have to say, you know, after watching last night's debate and then going online to see just how well Hillary did, how people were talking about this, I was pretty surprised because just about every poll that I saw online had Donald Trump winning. And I could not believe it. If they can actually believe, if anyone can actually believe that Trump won the debate last night, then we're talking about some kind of mass delusional atmosphere that's outside. And I don't know if you can fight that. I don't know if you can prevent that. He can do basically anything he wants and still be ahead, still be great. This is, you know, every dictator that has ever existed thrives on that kind of public feeling, that no matter what you do, you're correct and always coming out on top.
He did actually make the declaration that I'm right. I think that was actually a phrase in there, and it was said at least once, maybe more than once. The I'm right attitude.
Well, I'm just looking at this thing from Fortune magazine. They say internet polls conducted by major media outlets overwhelmingly show Trump as the winner. At the time of writing, and these polls are still open to the public, a CNBC poll. For some reason, you were watching CNBC all day yesterday. Why was that? That was so annoying.
I don't want to change the subject.
All right,
but you don't like it?
I usually watch Viceland, and I think that's okay.
I do. Well, C-SPAN is...
C-SPAN is the best.
C-SPAN's the foundation, and I skip around, but I'm trying to expand that a little bit. And, have a lot, let's just say I kind of grew up on that, and there's a lot of subconscious understanding of the finance industry and that market. Just from, you look at it, you realize you understand more than most people just by casually looking at it. And I wanted to see, honestly, some of the attitudes going into the debate, and there was people actually saying, you know, next up is a segment, you know, we're going to talk about how you can make money on, you know, on this candidate, or what candidate's going to make you the most money. And it was just, I wanted to get that kind of cold, impersonal.
I expect that from CNBC. I really do.
Right. I was looking for that. I want to see how their angle was.
But I thought, you know, intelligent people watched that channel, unlike Fox. I thought that, you know, a poll conducted by them would result in something fairly realistic. But get this. A CNBC poll with over 1 million responses shows Donald Trump winning 67% to 33% over Hillary Clinton, saying he won the debate by that margin. I mean, what the? It's just, there are no words. Time. You might have heard of Time. Respected magazine. Time magazine? You've heard of it, right?
Yeah. Let's see. Like, so that's the one with the covers?
Yeah. It's used for swatting flies, and it's basically man of the year, person of the year, thing of the year.
Okay. Yeah. Not Newsweek, though.
No, not Newsweek.
Got it.
Very different. A Time poll with about 1.6 million votes has Donald Trump winning 55 to 45%. Now, a Fox News poll, which is what I would expect, surveyed over 13,000 people, 50% to 34% has Trump winning. Fortune, the magazine I'm reading from right now, 600,000 responses. Their online poll also shows voters think Trump won the debate 53% to 47%. Now, many online polls are labeled with caveats warning readers that they are not scientific surveys, nor do they accurately represent the American electorate. The Daily Dot reports that supporters of Donald Trump even took to sites like Reddit and 4chan. Who let them onto 4chan? In an attempt to intentionally skew online polling results, including those of Fortune.com. According to 538, it takes some time for the effects of a presidential debate to actually resonate, since reliable post-debate polls tend to come out at least a couple of days after the fact. Okay, you know what? I'm going to trust you. I'm going to take you on your word that this is just, you know, an anomaly, an aftershock.
Yeah.
But it still scares the bejesus out of me, and I've never had that scared out of me before. You know, I'm wondering, is Michael Moore correct? Is he right that Trump's message of you know, how craziness is resonating, only because he's saying that the system is rigged and that everything is broken. He's not the guy that can fix it, though. He's not the guy. He's the worst possible person you could put in a position to deal with issues of unfairness, because the only person he cares about is himself, and he is going to rig things so that, you know, that park deal upstate or his casino business or anything like that, they all pale by comparison. And, you know, you think the artisans who installed statues or whatever in his hotels that didn't get paid, you think they're the only ones that are going to get screwed? No, we all are going to get screwed. We all won't get paid, and we'll be ruining the day that this guy ever was put in power. But people seem drawn to somebody that wants to shake things up. You just have to ask yourself, why does he want to shake things up? Is it for you, or is it for him?
Indeed. Let's wonder why. And I think it's good to trust that it may take a couple days. And, you know, if she did over-prepare, it was probably that she did not prepare for the... She over-prepared for the debate and not the aftermath.
What? Yeah, I've heard this. What does that mean, over-prepared for the debate? How do you over-prepare for a debate? What, she was too good?
No.
What does that mean?
No, that's being said, or it was used, just like Trump was using the it's rigged thing as a sort of a cloaking device, a force field to protect him going into it. Then all of a sudden, you know, if he does anything, the bar is so low that we don't really have high expectations at all. So I think those things were used. So her being over-prepared was thrown around, which I think is complete balderdash. But
you know, you've used that word every week for like the last month.
Yeah.
That's what our country has come to, that Kyle has to say the B word over and over again.
It's true. It's true. Wow. I don't mean to be profane. But anyway, I was trying to make a kind of a joke or something. I was basically saying that, you know, if there was any over-preparation, it was that she was prepared for the debate and not how it will be spun in the aftermath of the debate,
mm-hmm.
of the debate. And that isn't the point of the debate anyway. It's about the issues and what the conversation is and how these individuals represent themselves to the country. So, yeah, it's unfortunate.
Well, I find it hard to point to what her worst moment was. I mean, maybe not going into the 33,000 emails, but really, do we need to do that? Do we really need to go through that yet again? It's a non-issue as far as I'm concerned. First of all, people who are calling for the release of her emails, are they calling for the release of, they're saying it's classified information, it's national security, and yet you're saying you want to release it. It seems like those two things don't mesh well together. And basically, I'm not seeing her accused of doing anything other than doing her job, you know. Maybe not doing it the way that you believe she should be doing it, but there are no accusations of cheating, stealing. There's lying. There's lying of every politician, and it's not hard to find that. But with Trump, wow, you can't go a breath without something happening that you have to challenge. And say that really just happened.
Yeah, and his job is way easier because all he has to do is say things are broken. He doesn't have to actually do anything.
What is his job?
He just sits around.
What does he do?
And gets to be the loudmouth pointing things out, but uh-huh. not actually doing anything.
You know, the kinds of things that his campaign was saying during the debate was that only one of the people on this stage voted for the Iraq War. It's like, well, he wasn't in power in that sense, and he couldn't vote for it. But if he was in power, you can bet he would have voted for that and a lot more.
Yeah,
I mean,
definitely.
Does anybody really doubt that? Does anybody see Donald Trump as a peacenik, as somebody who would go for not invading, not bombing? I mean, look at him. Look at the way he treats people. How do you think he's going to treat countries? It's not hard to figure this out. It really isn't. I'm surprised that people, including a lot of leftists, believe that this guy is less dangerous than Hillary Clinton. Anybody in power, anyone with the power that the office of the presidency gives to them, is a danger, is a threat. But you want somebody who's competent. You want somebody who is able to understand the situation. He clearly is not. And has a short temper and can be provoked at the drop of a hat. That's not somebody you want in charge of the nuclear codes. Which, by the way, it's not inconceivable that he could do something nuclear without anybody challenging him, because these things move very fast. And it's a serious issue to be worried about the kinds of things that he could cause to happen with his short temper and lack of knowledge. So I don't get it. I don't get how people even can equate the two, let alone say that he is ahead of her in any way. Two more debates to come and another month or so of campaigning. And after that, I don't know. I don't know what to expect.
Well, then we'll have the holidays and we'll know and be ready for the inauguration in January, and it will be an exciting first term for whomever wins this thing. And it will, regardless, the country will be profoundly different. There's a myriad of people who have come together around a lot of these issues. Think of all the things that we've discussed
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
in the lead up to this. If you're a real, like, news junkie or something, you've probably been following this stuff for the last 2 years. Really, so there's a lot, and we've already talked about progress, a lot of the exciting things that have happened. Just over the weekend, the Smithsonian opened a African-American History Museum, something they said is 200 years in the making, and we would love to get into that, but I'm just going to say that that in and of itself, that we're actually creating a space where people can come and look at our history and take something away, I think is really powerful. Something that isn't, you know, sort of beat into you through your multicultural education or enema or whatever you want to call it, but rather a place you can be attracted to because you want to know about that history. I'm curious. I want to go see this museum. So that's a really outstanding movement and direction, and you just can't get too myopic, too blinded by all of this political stuff, because remember, it's just a show. It's a temporary facade to deliver these candidates to our government. That's how we propel them into office, is that big show, and it will go away. And what we'll be left with is time and space to create the kind of world that we need, regardless of the leader, because ultimately they have to listen to the people.
I want some of the happy juice you've been drinking, because, it's a show. The whole campaign is a one big hell of a show that goes on for way too long. But once that show is over, reality sets in. And if Donald Trump is going to be sitting anywhere near, he did buy the building next door. Isn't that something?
He already has a building.
How did he do
on
that?
Pennsylvania.
I didn't know it was up for sale. I never got a chance to even look at it. But if he is actually a 1600, if he is actually in the Oval Office, sitting down and making policy or signing bills or making angry phone calls in the middle of the night or basically just making us look so idiotic to the rest of the world, in addition to what he's going to do domestically.
Yeah, receiving state dignitaries, I'm sure that'll be
it's,
hilarious.
It's not going to be something that we can just sit quietly in our homes and wait for it to play out. It will affect us in a very fundamental and direct way. And I don't know. You know, I'm either going to be doing a lot of traveling or just staying in my house and not leaving for 4 years or the duration. It's scary. It really is scary. Are we going to go to delay and take phone calls?
Yes, we are.
Okay, well, our phone number is 631-632-6901, and do you have something to play to get us into delay land?
Yes. Wish me luck. We'll see you there.
Hey, this is Bert from Sad Magic, and you're listening to WUSB Stony Brook.
And we should be here, just like normal, right?
Well, I think so. That's generally how it works.
Let's bring the phone, and we'll take this call. Hello, you're on WUSB.
Hello, hi.
Okay, for some reason the speaker's not working.
Nothing. Just on our end, we're having some audio trouble.
Yeah, the microphone is not working on that phone there. Try jiggling the switch a little bit. Just bear with us, caller, and make sure the connections in the back of the phone are there. You want to say something again? Okay. This place never ceases to disappoint. Is it plugged in, Kyle?
Yeah.
You don't have to climb in the back.
Looks
the
sort
way.
Of plugged in. As far right. as I can
what
tell.
What you have to do then.
Running a radio program, it's hard
what,
to engineer.
What you're going to have to do is hold the phone up to the microphone.
Okay. Caller, what is it that you were calling about today?
Okay, I would like to speak with you on the Trump and the Hillary issue again, on the war, on the who is the peace pick and who is going to lead us to war. So let me just run through my spiel. I took some notes. I got flustered last week. So let me try this.
Go ahead.
Okay, here's what Hillary wants to do. Hillary wants to do a no-fly zone in Syria, which Russia is contesting, which leads us into a conflict with Russia, which potentially could lead to war with Russia, and me, being a Russian, I would end up in a concentration camp like we did to the Japanese. So Hillary, World War III with Russia, me in a concentration camp. Trump, on the other hand,
oh boy,
Putin's personal butt-kiss. Friendly with Putin, there will be no war with Russia, there will be no World War III, and I will not be in a concentration camp.
You know, you might be right in that one scenario, but there's probably a thousand other scenarios where Trump will get us into a war with God knows who, or set something off that can't be reversed, or just basically lead a very dangerous policy. So you might be right about the Syrian situation, which honestly I don't see any good way out of. But I think to believe Trump is going to be any safer is very misguided.
Okay. I admit there is a remote possibility that with his Hitler-like beliefs and, you know, his hating different groups, you know, his whole thing about...
If Hitler-like is part of a description of a candidate, that's something to be concerned about.
For my belief versus for being Russian.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I mean, you're not going to get me, like, trying to sell you on the concentration camp and say that, you know, your inconvenience isn't really equate to everyone else that might be affected. It's tempting, but I'm not going to go in that direction. But, you know, I guess this is partly why people have to vote with what works for them, with what they see as real, and be very careful about the kind of reality you accept.
Plus, can I just say one thing here? You being Russian, I don't think you have to worry in this country. I mean, we put the Japanese in concentration camps. They look different. Black people look different. You look just like us. You won't have a problem as long as you don't use that accent.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Don't do that. Don't. Yeah.
No, not that. Plain English.
Right out.
Plain English.
Yeah.
And nice and plain.
Dump the borscht, you know, just...
Yeah, no borscht. You're going to have to eat puff wheat in the morning, okay?
Yeah, Big Macs.
All right, hey, thanks for your call, and we'll take another call.
How are you doing holding that phone up to the microphone? Sounds good.
Yeah.
I don't know why it doesn't work.
Yeah, I mean, we're capable of so much here, but... It's just, it's not working with us tonight. And, you know, it's actually really exciting because this will not be. This board I'm using, these dials and things I'm doing, they are all going to be in a museum someday. And if you haven't been reading some of the cool articles and interesting press that the station has been getting, there's even been art exhibitions and stuff, you'll be as excited as we are because... Well, we've seen plans and are aware of the next steps for the station here, and it's going to be spectacular. It's really, really cool what will be possible, and there's a lot of other things going on behind the scenes. So all the more reason to support WUSB and community radio in general, and we'll keep you updated with that exciting new territory the station's going in.
And there is a radiothon coming up in the next few weeks, so you'll have that chance.
Yes, a little, giving you a little heads up.
All right, our phone number is 631-632-6901. If there's anything you have to say about last night's debate, or the candidates in general, or us, or anything else, really, you know, we're here. We're here for you. 631-632-6901. Call from anywhere.
Anywhere at all.
Does that pause mean we don't have any phone calls?
Yeah.
I thought we had more phone calls coming in.
Okay, we have a call now.
All right.
I don't know if this is going to work. I might have to hold this.
You're going to have to hold the phone again.
Okay. WUSB, you're on the air, sort of.
Okay.
Go ahead. What were you calling about?
I guess the debate, right? That's the topic, maybe?
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
What was your insight? What was your comment about that?
I actually kind of agreed with the Russian gentleman.
Oh, boy.
Are you Russian?
The Russian guy you just had on?
Yes.
Yeah, that was, like, the only thing I have to say about Trump is I would assume we're not going to get into a big fight with Russia.
Well, maybe not on the first day, but come on, you see how quickly he can attack somebody. You think he's going to be pals with Putin for very long?
Wait, and what about the last 8 years has made us, I mean, are we engaged with them any more than, I mean, granted, they have done a bit of a land grab with Crimea and so on, and are feeling the pressure from NATO being around them, but is it, I don't know if it is so, such a foregone conclusion from my perspective.
Right, I guess they're just the biggest. You know, I mean, I don't think we should be messing with Russia. And I think Hillary got really hot when they brought up the cyber attack. and that's when she brought up Russia. And
right.
I didn't like that. I don't, you know, she's the one that has been a victim to these cyber attacks, and I think that's why she was so hot when that was brought up, and that's just a little scary for me. She's been, you know, proven to be corrupt through these hacks, and that's clearly why she's mad about them, when they've been proven to be kind of important at some point.
Yeah.
Well, he certainly has been proven to be corrupt as well, and there's information about him that he has not released, such as the tax return or his health records, and to just keep all that.
I'm just saying, you know, in comparison, I think he's the total turd. I don't like that guy at all.
Yeah, well, voting for a total turd would definitely be a mistake, I think.
I'm going to vote Joe Stein, though, just because it's just what's going to make me feel good, make me sleep better at night.
Well, when you vote for Jill Stein, please attach a note saying don't think that Clinton is more dangerous than Trump, because you just need to give him a chance and see what he can do, and you'll be scared.
Yeah. Yeah, vote Jill Stein, but tell all your friends to vote for Hillary, okay?
That's funny, because my husband's going to vote for Hillary, and I'm okay with him.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, I think a lot of people are, they're in the same boat. And I will add to what you guys were talking about, there has been no shortage of secrecy on all sides. This mm-hmm. this election, if anything, has unearthed what Bernie Sanders said and more others have agreed with, and that is, it is a rigged and quite a corrupt money trough that is really disgusting if you look at it.
Can I say one thing to the caller, just one final bit of advice? When you're voting, if it did come to a choice between Trump and Clinton for you, I would say instead of focusing on their personality, focus on who do you think will be empowered by them becoming president. Think of the people that Hillary Clinton would make happy. Think of the transgender community, the gay community, the black community, all the people you saw at the Democratic convention, and then think of the people that will be empowered by Trump, meaning Wall Street, big business, billionaires, and which country would you be more comfortable living in?
I definitely agree with you. I'm happy that I hope Hillary wins. I have to vote for Joe Biden. I just can't do it.
All right.
Well,
all right.
Yeah, if you're in New York, because of our system, doesn't really make a difference. But if you're in a state where it does make a difference, like Florida, as Bernie Sanders said, this is not the year for a protest vote. So I would definitely heed his words, because if there's anybody who I've come to respect over the last year, it's Bernie Sanders. I think we are so much better off having the conversation that we had with throughout the campaign with him. And, I would trust his judgment on that.
I agree with you. Bernie's my man, and it was hard to see what happened to him. And that's why I have any vendetta towards Hillary, but... and also, I just love you guys. I love your station, and you guys rock, so...
Thank you.
Hey, thanks for those kind words, and you have a good evening, and keep listening. Thanks for your call tonight.
Thank you.
Okay, wow. And I think we have very little time.
So shall we exit the live?
I think it might be the best for everyone.
Everybody, hold on.
Return to regular... time.
Live land, we call it. And we're back. We're louder in live land than
we are. Wasn't that smooth? Wasn't that incredible? Didn't that work so well?
We'll have new equipment, and it'll work better. It'll be, yeah.
These are simple, simple things, and you have to appreciate the history when you're here in CR1 at WUSB. It is the giants of all giants you're standing upon the shoulders of. And, I mean, it really is a massively well-used place, and a lot of important stuff goes out over the airwaves.
It's the most interesting room on campus, I
would
say.
And of those fantastic things going out on the airwaves, we're lucky to be one of them. So
honored. Absolutely. You know, seeing somebody like Michael Moore come to campus makes you realize that, hey, this place really matters. That somebody would come out on his own generosity just to speak to a bunch of students and faculty at the campus and endure Long Island Expressway rush hour on a Friday afternoon. That says so much, and it makes you realize just how much a university like this matters.
Absolutely. Really cool stuff. Anyway, it's time to go. Everybody out there, stay very curious and get answers.
OTW at 2600.com. Please write to us. We'd like to hear from you. Good night.
I say. There's a conspiracy and trying for a coup. I think we should be free to do what we want to. You may well roll over, but don't expect me to go along. Hold it, wait a minute. I ain't done nothing wrong. Where will they welcome us if open arms and we are on the run? To some remote island where we can have some fun. What they're trying to sell us is really just a con. Haven't anybody noticed what's been going on? They shouldn't get away with it, and somebody should say, I shouldn't have to pack up all my bags and move away. The global war on culture started with a song. Hold it, wait a minute. Glossy sand.